Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed me, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I too may be cheered by news of you. For I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. For they all seek their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy's proven worth, how he, as a son with a father, has served with me in the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him just as soon as I see how it will go with me, and I trust in the Lord that shortly I myself will come also. I have thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and fellow worker, and fellow soldier, and your messenger and minister to my need. For he has been longing for you all, and has been distressed because you heard that he was ill. Indeed, he was ill, near to death. But God had mercy on him, and not only on him, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I am the more eager to send him, therefore, that you may rejoice at seeing him again, and that I may be less anxious. So receive him in the Lord with all joy, and honor such men, for he nearly died for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth.
To my feet and a light to my path.
Unite my heart to fear your name, that I may walk in your truth.
Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
Glory be to the Father and Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Your word is a lamp to my feet, and a light to my path.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. In the second half of the reading this evening, it seems almost as if we were intruding on private correspondence. St. Paul clearly regarded Timothy and Epaphroditus not only as faithful and trusted companions and colleagues, but also as close personal friends. The ties that bound them together were strong. It's also clear that St. Paul had a special relationship with the congregation in Philippi. This letter wasn't only an opportunity to teach and encourage them in the faith, but was also a chance to renew his connection with them, express his love and concern for them, and voice his hope that, God willing, he would soon be free to visit them himself. The first half of the reading, on which we'll focus for the next few minutes, is a bit less personal, more apostolic, perhaps, if you will. the sort of material we're used to seeing from St. Paul. Therefore, my beloved, he writes, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The therefore with which St. Paul begins refers back to the attitude of Christ, his humility, which he's just written of, who, though he was God, humbled himself to take on human flesh and was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, meaning with Christ as their example, St. Paul urges believers to live in humble obedience. And he indicates that they shouldn't do so because of him. His presence or absence shouldn't be determinative of how anyone behaves. He urges, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. These words in isolation have been misused to undermine certainty concerning salvation and to cause people to look to themselves and what they can do for salvation. Neither is it all in keeping with what St. Paul intends. In the first place, he follows up this admonition to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, writing, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. It is God who works in you. Just reading to the end of the sentence shows that your salvation can't be all about you and the works that you produce. God is at work in you, at work so that you both desire and do what pleases him. Looking to yourself won't do any good. God says the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. If your salvation depended on you, you'd be damned. It's as simple as that. God at work in you, changing your desires, leading you to love his will. This is the necessary prerequisite of your working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It depends on God, not on you. Secondly, the words with fear and trembling don't mean with uncertainty. Rather, they indicate a nervous and trembling anxiety to do right. Sincerity or dedication might work as synonyms here. St. Paul's point here is not that you can't be sure of your salvation, but rather that the one who has been redeemed by the humble, obedient suffering and death of the Lord Jesus will, in gratitude to him, respond to his call to holy living with utmost seriousness. As St. Paul writes elsewhere, for the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all. Therefore, all have died. And he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Thus, St. Paul writes to Christians facing continuous temptations from the devil and from society, and even from their own heartfelt desires, not to give in to them, not to meekly follow their lead, but to resist them, to oppose them, to steadfastly strive with God's help to live according to his will. This is certainly a tall order. It's not something in which any Christian will easily succeed. Indeed, there will be more than just occasional failures. St. Paul, writing now from prison, knew all too well the worldly power that could be brought to bear on Christians. And not only opponents with flesh and blood, but as he writes in Ephesians, the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers over this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Against these, he urges believers to hold fast to the word of life. Your strength in temptation, your restoration when you have fallen, your encouragement and support to persevere in pursuing a godly life is in God's word. It's through the word, and in the word combined with water and with bread and wine, that God is constantly at work in you to will and to work according to his good pleasure. And his good and gracious will is your eternal salvation, a salvation Jesus won for you on his cross, which he now applies to you through his word, claiming you as his own, giving you forgiveness, and strengthening you to fight the good fight of faith until the day of his appearing, when he will award you with the crown of righteousness. The Lord, in his mercy, grant this to you all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting. Amen.